Welcome to the Motley Fool Radio Show. I'm David Gardner, broadcasting from Fool Global Headquarters here in Alexandria, Virginia. Here each week to talk about the motley world of money and investing. And if you're one of the millions of Americans who did not win this week's Powerball, well, you're not alone, and no worries, because here at the Motley Fool, we're all about achieving financial independence without having to win the Powerball. On today's show, we're going to talk about the big business of robots with iRobot CEO Colin Angle. We're also going to talk about baby boomers and retirement, and we'll revisit our conversation with Mr. Rogers. Robots and Mr. Rogers. How's that for motley? But we begin the show by talking about some stock market stories that showed up on our Fool radar this week, and joining us is Motley Fool senior analyst Rick Minares. Rick, welcome.
Thank you, David.
Rick, let's begin by talking about Chinese search engine Baidu.com, which announced better-than-expected earnings this week. Of course, a publicly traded company, BIDU, on the NASDAQ. That company went public in August. Stock has traded as high as $153 a share. That was really right after the IPO. As low as $44. At the time of this interview, the stock's trading around $52, really toward the low end these days. Some people have called Baidu.com the Chinese Google. Rick, what do you make of Baidu right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think the company had an excellent quarter. People compare it to Google, and it's a fair comparison because Google is the leading search engine over here, and Baidu just happens to be the leading search engine in a country with 1.3 billion people. So, I mean, it's a company to be respected, even though Google is catching up to Baidu in China. So, Google's doing a few things right over there. Baidu, and I guess I should point out that Baidu is a stock that I actually own, and it's probably the riskiest stock I own, and I own quite a few firecrackers in my portfolio. it had a great quarter. I mean, revenues were up 168%. Earnings were up 286%. It was an amazing run by the company. And there's a lot of things that I like about Baidu. I mean, the numbers are really small right now because the company's just getting started as far as, you know, a country like China where less than 10% of the population actually, you know, is online. It's a company that's going to grow over time, and the sponsors are going to spend more to reach those people.
And, Rick, we compare it to Google, and many have. Is it the same business model?
It is. They're both relying on advertisers for the bulk of their money. Google does things a little differently. They have this whole centralized system where, you know, people – sponsors come up, they sign on Google.com, whereas Baidu is a little bit old school. I mean, they have about 200 different sales reps who go around, you know, from business to business, you know, and almost, you know, like little, you know, Willie Loman types going in there to recruit new advertisers to go on the site. But I think once all that catches up, Baidu's in a great position to cash in on the Internet revolution.
I have my own idea about this, and it generally is that the world is large enough to support lots of these businesses. But some people might be wondering, Rick, you know, is there room in China for both Google and anybody else, Baidu included?
Yeah, I think it's a ridiculous notion to think that, hey, you know, 1.3 billion people are all going to be using the same search engine exclusively. Obviously, it's never going to be like that. I mean, you think of a company like Yahoo, they're now number two here in the United States, and it's still about a $30, $40 billion company. Baidu right now is like a $2 billion company. There's obviously room for upside if the company performs.
Now let's switch from Baidu to JetBlue. The airline announced its first quarterly loss since going public in 2002 recently. Like a lot of the airlines, JetBlue is dealing with rising expenses, rising fuel costs, and rising debt, which it took on intentionally in order to grow and make up for a lot of the failure from the bigger airlines out there. JetBlue thought, let's borrow money, build more planes, take more routes, and replace those guys. Rick, what is your take right now on JetBlue?
Yeah, JetBlue, I mean, I've been bullish on JetBlue for a long time, but, I mean, lately I've been very hesitant about the company. Every time I would write something glowing about JetBlue, I'd always have someone, and it was usually, you know, an American Airlines pilot or a co-pilot at United Air saying, how dare you write about JetBlue, they're going to go down, and obviously, you know, there may have been a little bit of jealousy involved in that, but I mean, they kept saying the same thing. They said, watch JetBlue. At about the fifth or sixth year, their jets are going to start getting old, their pilots are going to demand more money, and all these things have actually happened. You have a company that, you know, 5-6 years ago, they all had shiny new jets. Now, you know, the planes need a little more maintenance. The pilots are making a little more, and you also have the, you know, the fuel costs, which are, you know, hurting all the airline carriers at this moment. But then again, I mean, you know, JetBlue isn't, you know, it's not in trouble in the sense that, you know, they're as bad as the other legacy carriers, that some of them that went bankrupt over the last few years. You have a company here who, you know, may break even this year. It may turn out to be a loss in 2006. but it's still in good shape.
Mm. You know, I think JetBlue kind of revolutionized thinking through the customer experience for airlines. Southwest Airlines, such a successful business over the years by going with a sort of a similar model, but JetBlue really said, hey, we're going to give you seat reservations. We're going to give you satellite television on our planes. I mean, I know that David Neeleman, the CEO, that was a revolution that he brought, which is actually thinking about what makes for a pleasant experience. Now, from my standpoint, the crazy thing is they're trying to charge less than everybody else. Do you think that JetBlue has some pricing power?
I think they have some degree of pricing power. I mean, it's the only time I flew JetBlue, I had a blast. I went with my kids, and we went from Miami, actually left Fort Lauderdale Airport. JetBlue doesn't fly out of Miami, from Fort Lauderdale over to Long Beach, California. And I was so scared of taking that 5-6 hour flight with what was then my 5-year-old youngest son. And I said, you know what? He's going to be able to watch Nickelodeon here on this little DirecTV. He's going to be able to, you know, play around, have some fun, eat all the blue corn chips he can eat. And we had a great time. I mean, you know, I think obviously I would pay a premium to go do that. But I don't know if most business travelers would say, hey, you know what? You know, I'm going to go pay $30-$40 more for a round trip ticket to go on JetBlue as opposed to United or an American.
Mm. Well, JetBlue sitting at a 52-week low, and it remains a stock that I own and have recommended. I'm leaving that recommendation in, but there's no question it has been a losing recommendation here over the last 18 months. Rick Munars is a senior analyst at The Motley Fool. He's also the author of a superb new Motley Fool offering. It's our free weekly Motley Fool Now email. It's an email that gives you all sorts of insights on stocks and investing. For more information, go to the Motley Fool website at fool.com. Rick, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, David.